new order. Because this is like us right now. Give y'all a chance to read over that and see what y'all think about it. Do y'all see any thing on the meetings that make any corrections? Additions? Deletions?
Well, I've got to change the checking account. The treasury report's wrong. I must have been mumbling.
Well, hopefully it got better instead of worse.
Oh, yeah. About 100 mile an hour.
I found, apparently I found $10 we can throw in that. We're looking better.
Which one?
It's $59.07. I mean, it's now $69.07.
That might be right.
Okay. Well, here, let me put 10 more in so that...
and the... 12th of July, we paid Ori Electric a little less. We paid $42.53.
Well, you want to go ahead and do the treasury report, and we'll get all that credited then if you got it.
Okay.
I could go back over it, but that's it. Else is proper.
Is that the curve on that? Do you have anything else you want to do the treasury report?
Oh, yes, I can do the treasury's report. That was June and July here. And it's correct. I accept it.
Okay. Second. Okay.
You want me to start with the treasury report here?
Yeah.
Well, so I'll open her up. That's this would be the August in checking account. We started on 15th August. Balance in the account is $69.07. 1st of September, I finally got Steve Little's dues in the account. I went by and dropped his $20 in. That September 1st, had a donation towards the radio arm saw that we'd been kicking around out there at the shop, and a man gave us a $125 donation for our treasury. I put that in the bank. 1st of September, transferred from petty cash $59. 14th of September, we paid Ori Electric $40.10. That left us today on the 19th of September. Our new balance is $232.93. As for petty cash, 15th August, we started out cash on hand with $47.88. The meeting's kitty on the 15th came to $25. And the 1st of September, I transferred to check-in $59. Which previously was noted was put in the bank. 19th September, it leaves cash on hand, $13.88. That'd be it.
Y'all agree, Brad? Accept it? Second? Oh, good, then that's down.
Float off my mind.
We don't have a king thing, so I just throw my hat out here on that. Since I've been, hadn't been in the last 2 months, and we had a couple of things, especially on the, I guess we got that fly-in next month. Now, I guess that probably would be the first order of business to kind of go over that. And
November, right?
Yes.
Maybe Monday.
November 6th.
Oh, October, right?
It's gone too long.
I've been gone too long, yeah.
It takes a long
time. Well, well, since I've been out a couple times, I'm going to let Dennis then kind of cover on that, if you don't mind.
It's already handled.
It's all, everything's taken care of?
Yes.
All we got to do is just show up?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Ever since Gene Baker signed up, that's pretty much it. No, well, I think it was pretty much decided last time that if everybody just do what we did last time, okay? Chapter by the drinks, and the people that brought the dishes last time, they would bring the same dish, because it worked out really great. And Gene and John, I guess, is going to provide the meat like they did last time. That was pretty much what was said. So, sounds like a plan to me. And if so, then the only thing we really need to do is sometime after the next meeting, we're going to need to go out there and maybe spruce up a little bit, maybe the first weekend before, you know, the last weekend, I should say, before November 6th. Spruce up, clean up, and get ready a little bit. Maybe mow grass again if the summer is going to keep up. Well, but other than that, I don't know of anything else. I don't know of anything else we have to plan for. It's not like years past where we had to do everything. The hard part of it is the barbecue, really, in my mind. And we've been fortunate enough.
I think Gene was going to make half per oil.
Half per oil?
He had way too much for last time.
Yeah.
Maybe half that much.
Yeah.
And then something goes bust, or I was talking to John about that we could, those that are there, maybe buy back food. You know,
yeah.
Split it up, help share
the
cost,
sure.
Stuff like that.
The only thing about the fly-in that we that I need to know about is whether we're going to send out those cards again, you know, like we did last time. That cost a fair amount of money. I mean, just postage alone is over $100.
We're not going to be in conflict with any of the fly-ins, are we?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen any.
Well, I was at Camden last week. We were at Camden last week for their fly-in, and Triple Tree had one.
Yes.
Out there on Sparkler. You can't compete with Triple Tree.
No.
There is no competing.
John
and ours was a complete bust up there at Camden.
I bet.
I mean, complete bust.
I sent John the notice, well, I sent everybody the notice about Triple Tree coming up, because somebody, Steve Little, wanted somebody to go with him. Anyhow, John sent me back. I guess that Monday afterwards, sent me back an email of some pictures with Triple Tree, and that looks like pretty serious flying.
But I'll tell you what, that looks like a rival Sun and Fun.
It looks like it would be well worth going to.
Yes.
But anyhow.
That's every year at the same time, too, isn't it?
I believe it is.
Quite frankly, I personally have not heard of it before, but I think I'll remember it next time. So. Anyhow.
Beautiful.
But other than that, like I said, we need to make a decision on that because that's a lot of money. You know, the postcards and ink cost probably over $100. Postage is over $100.
Well, that's something we need to do now so that you can do it.
We got to know because I can't wait till next meeting. It's too late then to send them out. I need to send them out within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, is everybody in favor of that? Of sending it out, sending that cards out?
It seemed to have worked last couple of times. We've had a pretty good turnout with the weather being but up to 40 aircraft.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
it's just a good idea.
I think it was the cards that did.
Everybody that I talked to, I asked when they landed and I talked to them, I asked them how they found out, and every one of them said it was the cards. Everybody I talked to.
So
I don't know. I'm, you know.
Yeah, for $100 or $5 a piece.
Well, it's going to be probably about $200. You got a massive amount of ink. Now it might be a little bit cheaper this year because I think I've got another printer that I can use. It's cheaper. Inkjets are terribly expensive to use. But yeah, it needs to be a color printer, and I got a color laser printer this year. It might be cheaper. But still, you're looking at probably in the $200 range total, with the stamps and everything.
Well, I make a motion if we're going to do that, that maybe those that could contribute towards that would just go ahead and start getting for it.
Well, I don't know how the treasury thing is.
I'll put 25 out today. Just start to follow along.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea, you know, to do it.
Yeah, we definitely need to do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, show me a show of hands, and everybody's in agreement of that?
Okay. There you go. Well, it's just that it's not a $50 thing. It's sort of, that's why I brought it up. But other than that, I don't know if you guys know of places that we can that send out schedules, announcements of events like online I'm talking about, or even radio stations or TV stations. If you want to send them, then great, do it.
Who was that guy that we met at the 1 o'clock and came from last year? He was from one of the television stations in Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was real interested. He wished he
got his card.
I think I've got his card somewhere. Right. He was real interested in knowing about it because he wanted to be involved in it.
Yeah.
And so we have that going in our favor.
Yeah, and see, what I'm saying is that I think it should be everybody, like a cooperative effort. If you know somebody that knows somebody, tell them, call them.
There's one guy still in from Roanoke, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Probably an RV. That's like a Cessna 172 flying in from the Conway Airport.
Yeah, it was an RV. There is an RV club up in Virginia somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, that's all I have on the flying. I think it's going to be a lot smoother this, Last year I thought it was really smooth and really good. Yeah.
Well, there's a website called Trike Social, and I've had it on there for the past 6 months, and they've been giving us real good coverage on their main front page, and that is read all over the world. Maybe we'll get a few out of it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we had a pretty good turnout last year on that.
I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to flyins.com?
Yeah, I do every year, but I got to do it. I haven't done it yet. But if anybody goes to a place like that, and if you don't see ours, put it in. You can put it in. Yeah. Everybody knows it's November 6th. It's the first Saturday in November, which happens to be this year, November 6th. And
is it a rain day on it?
No, we've never had one before. So. And the thing is that if we do go to the trouble doing all the food and then it bombs out and we had a rain day,
We
got to do it again, I don't know if we want that risk. Most chapters don't do that, unless you're a big guy.
Well, as hard as we've tried, I was just going to bring this up. As hard as we tried to get members in the club, I've been getting cards from a group, a couple guys and stuff down at Ramp 66. And they've been wanting to try to start an EA club down there. Have y'all got any of those cards?
Everybody got them.
I didn't get one.
You didn't get one then?
No, but you got one, didn't you, Corey?
I got the guy's name sent out these cards. The guy went up there. Jack Todd was there. Chuck was there. And that was it from Hopkins anyway. But this man is Scott Morrow. And his email is there. And it was just a reference or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it's anybody can get that, that's all right.
Yeah, I never got this.
But this apparently this fellow has been around or whatever in the aviation circles because we met. He introduced everybody in the group, the meeting, whatever. He went on for, God, how long, what is, how, when, where, why?
So what are they going
to
do?
What he wants to do, he wants to form a chapter, but the thrust of the chapter by what thing, and I am assuming he wants to do, he wants to increase the the young people and so forth. He wants to go to the schools, he wants people who are knowledgeable and so forth and so on, try and get them to build them, you know, in the manual training course and so forth. He even mentioned that at one time Emory Riddle was interested over in Conway, and they, that's not up to, not viable now. But
yeah.
So, but this is what he wants to do. He wants to speak to the politician. He wants to really, but the object is to, he said, unless we local have Asia, get the young people, the whole family's going to fall apart because we're dying off. So that was the information from joining that chapter.
We've always been that. We've always fight young people that are already out there.
Yeah. I guess he didn't want to go to Green Sea, though, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not doing that one. We tried to get Jim to do Young Eagles, which he had done before up north.
Right.
But he didn't want him to take the risk.
Well, Jim's getting older too, you know. No, I think Well, now we do have somebody doing the Young Eagles thing down here a little bit. I mean, it would be something I'd like to do, but I'm not going to do it in the plane I got.
Well, I figured that he'd probably got everybody's name, and I was just curious.
Well, he
said he sent to EAA and got the names.
Yeah.
That's why I asked
if you both got anything.
We don't know that. You know?
Because it's kind of odd, you know, that I was thinking to myself, I said, it's kind of odd, we got a club right here in the community, and he's going to start one up, and competition between two clubs trying to get members is not going to work.
No.
And as young people, it is really difficult for them to get into it simply because of the money issue. So, like with you, you get a lot of people, you know, listening to flight training, young people?
Well, the last one, I guess, was married
at
least, you know, she's
23. But it's few and far in between.
She ain't about EAA, though. She was headed down to Charleston to the boyfriend or somewhere. Not most of the people are, but I fly with the older people, you know, didn't have money when they were younger, you know. The kids had gone out of school, so they learned to fly now. But I don't know what the young crowd's doing now. Not flying.
Well, most of them is losing their homes out of my area.
Well, you know, like yesterday, I was out here yesterday. Saturday's beautiful day, just like today. And nobody's flying, you know. And they used to. You come out here 30 years ago, 20 years ago, people hanging around, flying, working on planes, you know, popping up tires and stuff. I don't know what's happened. It's still, you know, when you compare it to Harley Davidson or Fission or something, or, you know, it's still not even more expensive than anything else. But, I don't know.
It's really difficult. I've talked to a lot of young people, and they express interest. They express interest, but the next question is, how much is it going to cost me?
Yeah.
And I start telling them, well, it's going to cost you a little bit more, $100-some an hour for flight training, and then if you go get your cert, what is it? It's over it's more than 5,000, isn't it?
Oh, flight training?
Yeah, just to get your basic cert.
Well, I had one kid I could have called today. I just didn't think about it. My fault. I just need motivation calling. You know, you got to call and when
they
get here, they get something going on, too. You know?
That's true.
And so I don't know. It's a different world, I guess. But I see students, you know, I don't know what they do. I can motorcycle them, I guess. Something that seems to me just as much interest as it ever was to me, you know. I guess everybody here.
It'd have been nice, you know, he'd come on over out and talk to us. I wish he'd come on out and, but,
if I had received that, I would have invited him, but I didn't know, I didn't get a copy of that.
Well, he knew where we were at. He knew yeah. where the place was at. As far as the things you want to set out to sell,
I was just thinking if anybody has something they might want to set up for sale, or little airplanes, weather vanes that we've got. I've got a hour meter, 24 volt hour meter. I could set out. It's brand new. Probably built in 1940, but it's brand new. I just thought something we could set up for people to look at, and maybe somebody would see something that caught their eye. As far as the taxiway, Wayne's already started on smoothing up the taxiway up there. Bud donated some dirt to the project, and he also donated the rocks to go around the windsock. We got, it looks like a bullseye from the air. If you can't find the windsock now, you're blind. You need to get out of the airplane. Yeah, it used to be hard for me to see it, and I fly pretty low. And now anywhere I'm at, you just glance, and you can see those white, that white circle. It's about a 10-foot circle at the base of the windsock, and there's a 30-foot circle around it.
How is the condition of the runway? Bumpy or whatever?
No, it's not bumpy. I wouldn't consider.
The reason I say I try to get this guy's wife, I said, you know, you should fly up there. You're more than welcome. And we, a lot of blah, 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 blah. She said, I came in and it was bumpy as hell. But they're talking about a cement parking ramp and so forth and
right.
so on. So she was bigger than really, you know.
Right. They're not grassroots flyers. It's different.
A lot of the stuff that you got down here, I guess when we have our next meeting up there next month, we can take care of those things, can't we?
Yes, Thursday, every Thursday we're out there, and like I say, we're working on these projects as we can. Wayne's trying to get an airplane painted. While his paint's drying, he gets on his backhoe and goes out and tries to smooth up the taxiway. We've still got the other windsock at the lower end of the field to be done. So if this Thursday anybody wants to get in on it, he's bringing his little dump trailer. Well, he actually sold the dump trailer, but he had an agreement that he can borrow it. So because it took us about 12 buckets with the Kubota to go out there and do that. And 12 buckets going 4,000 feet down to the other windsock might take a while, so we decided to do it with the trailer. And we do need to do the letters on the roof, repainting them. It'd be nice. It'd help people notice it from the air. You can still see it if you're really looking hard, but it's not real visible. I wish we could find some really bright paint. Definitely we need to go around and we need to take out all of the loose screws and tighten them down good, seal them, and then repaint that whole roof. But we've got some leaks there we need to fix. Wayne's on top of that. He could be in charge of that detail. I'll bring my screw guns, and with Wayne's, we should be able to do that one day.
See what he's saying? Wayne? Dwayne.
Yes, we need help.
What color are you going to paint the roof?
Is that white cool seal you brought?
That's good. There's a big article in Popular Mechanics talking about the difference between black shingles, asphalt shingles, and white. And it said the difference is remarkable between the two, you know, from the hot sun.
Now, if you get a white cool seal, it reflects the UV instead of a sort. And that's what we got out of it.
Yeah, Dennis already donated, I believe, a 5-gallon bucket of cool seal.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be enough to do it.
I imagine it will. It's just got to get cool enough up there where I can get up and kneel down on the roof, because there's a bunch of screws around where it's leaking that needs to come up. They didn't, I don't know if they popped back up and they never was put down to begin with, but they're sticking up about 3/8 of an inch, some of them. So we get all that took care of and then we can cool seal the whole thing. I figured we'd leave the outline of the letters where somebody could be working on doing the letters. Makes it a little bit easy since they're already up there.
Next meeting over there, that's that we'll plan on that then. The letter works as far as getting up on the roof, don't it?
Yes.
Okay. And I expect to see you over there, Sherry, and I'll pull you up on top. Me and you will get up there and work on that thing. You had anything else? I didn't mean to cut you short, did
I? I don't think I have anything else. That's about it. Any of the grass mowing, we could have a hand with that and be fine. Like I say, we're out there every Thursday. We stay at night. Usually Wednesday night and Thursday night, I try to stay out there. If it's going to be nice air in the morning on Friday morning, I'll definitely be there. Because I love the morning and seeing the sunrise.
We were out there the other morning when he was up there. And the night before, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you were talking about flying in and out of the airport over there at Twin City. I got a farm that's right out from one of the end of the runway there where it comes out. The last few days I've been over there, they've been, a lot of lights have been flying in and out and come out over the farm when he out through there. So that seems to be more active than this one.
Are those two guys? Come over our house last night.
Who, this young man here?
No, we told you about seeing them.
Oh, the Michael. Day. Mike and somebody's been flying with him. I don't know who it is. It's not you because you're down at the Bantam Field.
Another tribe?
Yeah, another tribe's been flying. I've heard reports of it, but
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It was two last time, right?
I even heard them on the radio when I was up Thursday morning. They were on the radio. Wednesday night they were on the radio, too, yeah.
They had the stroke going.
I didn't know they had the
runway
lights. And
he looked it up and they did it.
Well, I was kind of surprised yesterday when he was out flying because there was quite a bit of surface wind.
Yeah, the rain was pretty crazy. And
well, the first time I saw them, that we were going home from the airport one night, two nights ago, and they were, one guy was there with a flock of birds. And he writes the birds were, and he was right in the middle of all these birds. And I said, that's a big bird. So as we went on down the highway, I said, no, that's not a bird, you know. I but it could be dangerous, too, flying with all the birds around you.
Sometimes it looks like you're right with the birds because they follow me around, but I'll be above them a good bit.
It looks like you're right with the guy with the little helicopter
here.
See the gyro
around
here?
No.
He just flew in,
Malaga.
Well, next month is a possibility of change of officers because it's a new, every 2 years, you know, we have a change of officers, and that's next month. So I want to make sure everybody's available so we can get some good volunteers. There may be a few people that might want to step up to the plate, like Peggy.
or Shirley.
Help.
Or Shirley.
Been there and done that. Secretary, treasurer, for how many years?
Mm-hmm. But that's a thought thrown out. I don't have a lot of stuff. Like I said, I've been out a couple months. And some of these guys, like this man here, has got a new project, so he can... How's your project coming along?
It's inching ahead. It made a big leap ahead when I brought a Jabiru 2200 engine home, brand new.
Oh, my.
I've had it on the front of the plane, but it's now back in a crate that I made for it. I'm working on the firewall right now. I've got some paint to do. It's too much red. I'm trying to change it. I think Bill might be helping me on my painting. Either that or I'm going to be doing a lot of rattle cans.
How long do you feel you can leave an engine without doing something in reference to preserving it?
Well,
weeks, months?
Well, when they come into case, they're already oiled down pretty good from the manufacturer, aren't they?
Yes.
Because you haven't turned it over or anything.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of do turn them over. This one has been kept upside down since it came from Australia, and I've got it flipped right side up. That way any of the oil will run back down over the surfaces it might have ran away from. But usually, and they lube them up, they do a pretty good job. I like to use the yellow grease myself when I assemble engines, because the yellow grease, a good amount of it, will hang to the bearing surfaces, whereas
you have to do when you want to start that up again?
Well, you make sure you're getting oil everywhere before you ever start one. You prop it through until you have oil squirting out every spot it possibly could. That's like an old Harley engine. I'll kick one for 3 weeks sometimes before I ever think about starting it. And then I'll start them up and just run them a little while and drain the oil right back off them. And I do the same thing with an airplane motor. It might be wasting oil, but that little bit of metal that the first 5 or 10 hours on it, I believe in changing it and getting it out of it right away. But the Jabiru has a filter, so that's pretty nice. You know, the old Continentals we used to run, there's no filter on it. Motors have come a long ways. So we'll see.
Wayne, tell them about the guy that came out with the...
Oh, yeah, we had a visitor last week, Thursday morning, wasn't it?
I wasn't there. You were
Thursday. Yeah, I think it was Thursday morning he came. I might have Friday morning. He's from Ontario. And he is a retired military commercial pilot that had a power parachute on the back of a Yukon, I guess it was. He had a white Yukon with a rack on it like you'd set a wheelchair on the back of, is what I believe it was built for. And he had it made with four clamps where he could take a little electric screw gun, and the minute he could have it off and on his back and carrying it away. But he had it so he could start it on the truck and run it up and get it all warmed up before he ever got ready. He had his chute all set up. And he was just a little short guy. He was only about 5'4", maybe at the most. I don't know if he was that tall. Roberto was his name. And he was just as likable as he could be. And it was kind of gusty that morning. I know it was at least a 10-mile-an-hour gust hit him when he took off. And I told him, you know, if he gets up, maybe it would be good to fly at the south end of the field, because he took off down by our hangar. And he thought that my taxiway was a runway, because he took off with no problem at all. Well, it kind of scared me, because he immediately turned to the left patent, and he went out through the tobacco field out there, and I could see that chute going like this, up and down. I said, he's got it. Boy, he's having a ride. It looked like a poodle in a Doberman's mouth there getting stripped around. But he handled it, and he was just as calm as could be. But the first time he tried, actually, didn't go so well. Wind got him. He's trucking along. He's got that thing up in the air, and he's trucking along. All of a sudden, it's pushing him towards the ditch, and I'm saying, if he ever gets airborne, he's right into the windsock, which he would have probably gone to the left of the windsock, because he's pretty capable. At the time, I didn't know how experienced he was, so I talked to him later. Now I didn't feel so bad about it. But he got into that ditch and faced his face right into it. And he just gets up after he gets the thing shut off and realizes everything's all right. And he just gets up, turns around, looks at it and says, well, that didn't go quite as planned. So we said, yeah, you'll probably have to bring the chute all the way back and try it that way, get you a good run. And he took it back and he straightened it all up. Threw his lines up. Like I say, that time he went. It didn't take a long time. He went around the patent, and thing will cruise quite. He's got a speed wing on that power parachute. Huh. And he does about, I think he said, 36 knots.
Wow.
That's pretty fast. I don't know if I believe that. It looked like he was moving, though, when he came back around. But he's supposed to be coming to our fly-in. I gave him the date of it, and he said there's no way he could drive down again, but he could get enough time off, and he'd have his wife bring him to Niagara Falls, because on this side of the border, he could get a flight into Myrtle Beach for $146, I think. I said, well, you've got my phone number. You can call me. We'll go get you.
I think I saw one on Barnstormers, if anybody's interested in giving those backpacks for sale cheap.
Yeah, where you
live, you're a good man for that. He's got the legs to run, no problem.
Well,
I've seen them. They fly down, and it's just as easy. They make it look so good. They just light on their feet. And then you see other guys where they just get face planted and drugged for 100 feet. That would be me.
I saw it three different times trying to get it off the ground. He never did. He never did fly. But he tried. Stand on his head, like you
see. Well, you remember the one down at Lakeland? Yes. We saw, tell them about that one.
And that wasn't any more wind than this guy flew in the other day. That's why I was really impressed at his ability.
That was painful.
But he said this was his second one. This one was brand new, and he'd only had it for a few months. It looked like brand new. One of them Samuni engines on it. Electric start. I mean, it's pretty nice for what it was. It's not big.
Well, the one down at Lakeland, we saw him practicing. He was a little guy about my size. We saw him practicing, he'd get that thing going, and it had a pretty good breeze blowing on down the runway. And I was thinking to myself, I said, Dwayne, I said, that guy shouldn't be up there with that little mosquito net like that. And about that time, the wind caught it, and he was gunned, and he was outlining right here. With the parachute up here, and he started climbing up, but going backwards. And I said, man, don't let up on the gas. And he let up on the gas, and he dropped about 10 feet and hit and fell Facebook, and he had it wide open back and it on his back. But that wasn't pretty. But when he got up, he didn't try it again, I don't think, did he?
No, he came back the next morning, I guess it was, and he flew. But, yeah, that thing was... It's funny because you give it the gas and it would go up. He'd be straight up looking at the sky. He'd let off the gas and he'd come back down and he'd be looking straight at the dirt. And it was like that for about 10 times. I said, Lord mercy, he's going to kill himself. I don't want to see this. I turned away from him there for a minute. I didn't want to see what was going to happen. But he finally, and when he came back, I'd face first in the dirt. He was all scun up when he came by us.
I thought he would have just reduced the power a little bit, you know, and to the wind. The wind lifted him on up since he's already looked off the dirt. But if I was to fall 6 to 10 feet, it'd kill me. I might as well just hang it up. I'd have a bust in the back. What about you, Bill?
What about you? I want to latch with him and coming down tomorrow if he can. We'll see. I'm going to put my engine, put our aircraft all the way back together again one last time, get another weight and balance on it. That's the problem with designing as you go. So we're going to put together one last time. I hope it's the last time.
Well, by the time you get through taking the part for that again, you're going to need new bolts.
We'll be all in hardware.
What happened with the propeller?
Not that new propeller.
I just going to let you get away with that.
I destroyed it. I wasn't just saying it. I had 6 hours left with Brock.
I told you not to be driving it down the highway and trying to make your turns.
He never even made it down the shop.
I told him to point it out of the shop the next time he started it up.
I had moved something in the shop. It had gone on me, and I fired it up to test something else I made for the engine. We now have 6.5 hours on it. I saw this movement out of the corner of my eye, so I pulled the throttle and killed the switch. And about the last revolution, he came over and caught it, and the splinters went everywhere. And anyway, we have no one on order.
What about the engine? You don't think you might have messed it up?
Nah, it didn't bother it at all. What it did is when it fell down, it came up underneath of it, so it picked it up, so it wasn't jamming it. And I ran a dial indicator on it, and it doesn't move a half a thousand. Like I say, I saw what was going on. It almost stopped before it caught it, but it really annihilated the prop.
Hmm.
And we needed another prop anyway. Turns out it was too small a pitch. we were getting an RPM that was too high on settings. So we...
But that's a good way to get a new one.
Well, I have a very understanding one. I said, what do you think I'm going to do? She said, order another one. All I can say is, you're already out. She was good. So we have one now coming. It turns out that my little so-called engine that's rated at 60 horsepower is producing closer to 72. And we are running, going to be running 62-inch by 30-inch prop on 1835. And the guy at the culvert that makes some Valley Engineering, he says, wow, you have an engine for an ounce of power. Most people on that airframe are running 60 by 26s on an 1835. And my stag is 1300 RPM, right at the limit for the disc speed. So we pitched it up to 30, so the minimum coverage should handle power. So this thing jump off the ground.
It'd be like that one on they got on that video where it goes about 15 feet.
Oh, you're talking about that 701.
It's got that, well, they used to have one there with an 8-foot prop. And it was a slow turning prop. But by the time it got, did y'all ever see that video they had? It would only go about 20, 30 feet and off the ground and just climb up.
There was a 701 video, CH-701. He rolled only about 40 feet in his airborne. I don't know what he was running. But anyway, we're going to put it together last time and weight and balance, because I want to see where I have a ballistic shoot for it. We want to see where to mount that during the weight and balance, and then we'll take it apart again. Detail it, cover it, paint it, and hopefully it'll become a package instead of scattered all over shop. I'm wondering if I know where all the parts are. There's so many.
You trying to get it fixed so you can take off in your driveway up there where you're moving to?
No, I keep looking at the Catholic church across the street.
Well, I don't have anything else. It's open floor. Does anybody have anything they want to bring up? Or any, nothing?
Well, Wayne's finishing up his license. He's back in the Challenger up at Oak Island. He was up there Thursday morning and having fun. The instructor took him out and said, it's your airplane. Like, he said he really enjoyed Thursday. It's the best flight he's ever had. Instructor told him he's ready to solo. Proficiency or whatever you do. I guess proficiency test is what you call it, right? He's already soloed.
I went through the Air Force Museum up at Wright-Patterson last week. And if you've never been,
We've been there three or four times. Yeah, it's really, if anybody hasn't ever gone, they've definitely
been there. Did you go over and see the president's plane?
Let me go over
to the field where the Wright brothers did most of their flying.
Yeah, that's where they... Over there, original
field.
That's right there on the edge of
Wright Patterson. That's right. You got the SR-71 up there. Did you see it? There's the Blackbird. Did you see it?
Yeah, they had one of those.
Yeah,
even had a, I don't know if it's a
real
or a mock-up. They had planes that
were
in there. And a whole bunch of planes that Air Force stole from the Navy. Did you
see
any
UFOs?
A-7s.
They had just a handful.
Did you see any UFOs? Rumor has it that that's where they keep the UFOs, right there.
It would be. I didn't see any.
You didn't see that little box up there? Did you look at it? It's got some of the tinfoil in it. I've been up there a few times in my band. I was supposed to go up there and work when I left Charleston, and it didn't work out for me. But if you do get a chance, and I tried to get some of these guys, let's go up there and spend some time. You know, we can, but I can't seem to get these guys away from Mobile County and get up there that far. Okay. And it's it takes about 9 hours, I believe, 9 to 10 hours to drive from here. Is that about what you made it in?
Yeah, want to see a good airplane, it's out there in Oregon, Spruce Goose. McMinnville.
Yeah. Howard Hughes. So you were out that way, weren't you?
Where now?
This was in Oregon.
Oregon?
Yeah.
I was up at Fairchild, up in Washington for a while.
Well, when they had that Hughes plane was out in California for years,
mm-hmm.
Disney bought it and didn't do much, it didn't have much interest. So they were going to just sell it to parts and get rid of it and tear it apart. And this guy from up there, it was Evergreen, the company, he jumped out. He decided that he'd move it and they'd build a place for it, which they did. They built a big museum for the airplane, but I mean, they've got all kinds of airplanes in there now. Everything.
And that's where you're at in Oregon?
Minnesota, Oregon.
Close to Portland or somewhere?
South. You look on the map, you look at this inland from the coast, maybe.
They've got another museum in there, all space up there.
Oh, but they've really, it's a big operation. You ever hear of Evergreen? Every once in a while, you'll see a big truck that has Evergreen on it.
Oh, yeah, where Evergreen's a cargo hauler.
Yeah.
They let
you Evergreen.
A lot of friends that flew for Evergreen.
It's got a big 747 that is going to make a slide on. Water slide?
You can make a slide for the kids, outside of the museum.
He rebuilds them in Arizona. Commercial and sells them.
Well, I'd like to see the Spruce Goose. That's a humongous wood-built aircraft.
You can go up in the, they didn't used to let you go in the cockpit. You've been there a few times now. Now, if you pay just a little bit more, you get to go up in the cockpit and you go up these windy stairs and it's way up there. It's really neat.
Well, maybe one of these days when I get a chance to travel around the country.
The right patch for the military, and then that one, for all kinds of aircraft.
Well, Rupp Heath has got a lot of stuff there. I mean, you could spend a couple of days there at that one.
Yeah.
Going through that's like three bases in one.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of stuff there, let's say, like when the stuff that's happening back in the 50s and, I guess it's 50s and 60s, I suppose they took all their stuff up there and stowed it.
Like the 47?
Yeah, 1947.
Well, Roswell
would be Mexico. Well, they got some places out there that's restricted because we used to go out there and do exercises out there, and they got some restricted air space out there that they won't let you get close to. You have to fly out around it. Even for us, we couldn't go in when we were out there. So it just makes you wonder what's going on at those sites.
We got a nice one in Alaska, Anchorage Museum, Military Museum.
Well, did y'all take any movies? Did y'all take any of those movies when y'all were out and about?
The Fairbanks is really out of
the room. Yeah, you don't take the movie camera with
you? Fairbanks is a good one.
But Bob Burroughs told us there's a really good museum, which is a part of Richmond, up in Richmond.
Richmond. Okay.
He said it's a very good museum.
Oh, there's one out from the Capitol out there, that airfield that's right out from the Capitol there, that's a huge museum out there.
That's the Dulles Airport.
Yeah, Dulles Airport.
Yeah, that's Smithsonian's a big
airport. Yeah, that's a huge.
Tremendous. I've had people stop up there said to see these huge planes indoors. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I still got that 9-to-5 job I have to do every day. That's it for me. Anyone, nobody else? And we'll call the meeting to a close then.
Okay.